It's a treat. I mean it. I thoroughly enjoyed what the Lord did on Mother's Day yesterday, the good service we had last night. I really believe the Lord ministered. We preached on help, and I still believe God will help us, don't you?
Amen.
And the Lord wouldn't leave me alone today. I'm going to go ahead and give you a commercial. I'm not going to preach it tonight. Maybe the Lord will let me preach it tomorrow night. I'm working on a little message called The Cripple and the King. You say, well, why don't you preach it tonight? Because I didn't get it done. Amen. Someone asked me one time, said, preacher, how long does it take you to develop a good sermon? Sometimes it takes a long time. Somebody shout amen. Sometimes they come right together and the Lord just, I mean, everything just flows. And you feel like you got some substance. And then sometimes you get a skeleton and you look at it and you look at the points and you think, man, that's going to be good. Then you can't get any meat on the bone. Somebody shout amen right there. You know how many great outlines I got? More than you can count. But I'm telling you, when the Lord gives you something, you know that it's from Him. It's a game changer. So good to have you tonight. Good to have Brother Bill Adcock. I would say that I was old enough to remember his preaching, but that wouldn't be true. Brother Adcock, I was a little fella, tiny little fella. I'm guessing, you might correct me, I might have been two or three. Is that probably right? Yeah, I was a tiny little fella. So good, preacher, to have you tonight. In the service and others. I know there are others here. Now I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to tell you how much was given to me, but I did have a man approach me, hand me a little bit of money and said, I'd wish that you'd keep it short. Put a big grin on his face. Now, hey, I'm going to go ahead and tell you, that's a win-lose situation. If I do cut it a little short, you'll think I took the bribe, amen. And then if the Lord tells me to quit, you're going to say, that man, no, I'm just going to preach. It'd be all right if I preach to you tonight.
Amen.
Now, I know last night we dealt with some issues, and I don't know why the Lord wouldn't leave me alone, and I'm going to kind of go back to surgery tonight. We might not have a lot of amens, but I'm just going to obey the Lord. So if you have your Bible tonight, go to the book of Matthew chapter 21. And it is so good. I got others. I know there are some folks come tonight. Brother Mike, Brother Leroy Castleman and his wife have come. They come the other night when I was in Van Buren. And they come a couple of nights there. And then they come to this meeting. How many of them are glutton for punishment? Amen. But I want to go to Matthew chapter 21. I'm going to begin there in verse number 10. I'm in Matthew chapter 21 and I'm in verse 10. When you get to Matthew chapter 21 and you find verse 10, would you stand in reverence to the reading of the Word of God? I'm in verse 10. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? The multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. I'm in verse 13. And said to them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. The blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. Everybody look up here. How many believes tonight he's still the healer? If any healing gets done, ladies and gentlemen, it's Jesus Christ. He's the healer. The Bible said in verse 15, and when the chief priest and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children, I like that, the children crying in the temple, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. They were so displeased. Look at verse 16. And said unto him, Hearest thou what these say? Jesus saith unto them, Yea, have you not never read out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise. Father, I thank you tonight for the reading of the word of Almighty God. I've opened your divine book. I have read from heaven's divine library. Now, God, for a few moments, I pray tonight that you would loose my mouth and that you would loose my tongue and that you would let the gospel ring with clarity and with boldness and with power. If there's anybody on this Monday night that is lost, let this be the night that you would convict them of their sin, that you would let them see that they have sinned against thee, and thee only have they sinned. Would you speak to us tonight as we huddle around the word of God? I pray, God, that we wouldn't worry about the time, but we would focus on the text. Would you speak to the hearts of the men, the women, and the boys and girls? God, would you help the church of the living God to rise up and be the church? Help us to recognize our greatest weakness and our greatest need and what we desperately need to understand in these last few days before you come back and get us. Would you speak to us tonight from in this place, in this service, in this altar call? I pray tonight, God, when the altar call is given, that we would respond to the preaching of the word of God, and we'll give you praise and we'll give you glory in Jesus' name. Everybody said, Amen. You may be seated in the house of the Lord. If you take notes tonight and you like to write down what the man of God preaches, here's what I'm going to preach. I would say 30 minutes, but I don't know if I can get it out in 30. But I want to preach tonight for a few moments, Brother John, on this unusual thought. But ye have made it. But ye have made it. Jesus walks into the temple. Ladies and gentlemen, let me set the stage for you in this sanctuary. When Jesus, Brother Carl, walks into the temple, you can tell by looking at the Son of God that he's upset. He's not really enjoying what's going on inside the temple. Matter of fact, Brother Tom, he dumps over their tables and the change falls to the ground. And I'm just telling you, he's announcing to them, and he makes this statement, I have intended for this place to be called a house of prayer. Ladies and gentlemen, would you agree with the man of God? If there's anything the church in this generation needs to get a hold of, it's prayer. Would you agree that it seems like we're interested in everything but prayer? But would you agree with me? Our greatest need, our greatest weapon is when we bombard heaven and we get a hold of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now you know that, but here is the sermon. Now, I could cut it short, but here's what I'll say. Brother Leroy, Jesus was not angry. He was not angry at them, for the act of selling was not what made him mad or was not what made him upset. What upset the Son of God was they were stealing underneath the table. Is anybody hearing me? And Jesus perceived that, and he knows that they're stealing. And instead of giving that money to the temple, they were stealing. And God said, Derek, look at the statement. He said, this house is to be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. Jesus was saying, I believe this, Brother Tom Ballard. Here's what Jesus was saying, Brother Bill Adcock. Here's what Jesus was saying. The church would be everything that I intended it to be if it was a house of prayer. The church would be everything and more. It would reach into its community. It would make an impact on planet Earth if the house of God was a house of prayer. I'm preaching better than you, amen, and tonight. Now, I knew I said I done forewarned you. I probably wasn't going to get a whole lot of amens, but I'm going to preach anyhow. And so here's where we are. So this is the sermon. I've intended it to be a house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. When I get to thinking about that as a traveling evangelist, and I begin to roll that over in my mind. Now, I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, I get to look at folks every week of my life. I'm a traveling evangelist. Someone asked me one time, said, boy, I'd love to do that traveling deal. Just get in the car and go preach every night of my life. I'd sure love it. Look up here, get you a King James Bible and go help yourself. Try some of that traveling stuff. See what it's like. You get over the travel about a week or two in. I'm going to tell you the truth. Staying in different motels. And, oh, Lord, could I not preach about an hour right there? Going there and I won't even begin. John, I'll leave that alone. But I'm telling you, traveling is overrated. It just is. But here's what I begin to conclude. When I look at this church in the generation, Brother Bill Adcock, that we're living, I would just make this statement. If the church in this generation isn't reaching out, isn't winning the lost, isn't making an impact, do not blame God. God's not at fault. God is not to be blamed. Ladies and gentlemen, if the church is not reaching its community, if the church is not making an impact, would you agree with me? But ye have made it. Well, I knew I would hit a little bump there, but I'm going to go ahead and act like you're enjoying this. Hey, listen to the man of God. Would you agree with me? Have you noticed that we're living in a generation people are quick to give their 2 cents about what they don't like? I don't like the color of the carpet. I don't like the wallpaper in the men's bathroom, and it gets on my nerves. Y'all know I'm telling you the truth. And we're worried about the carpet. We're worried about the wallpaper. We're worried about what the church looks like. And people are dying and going to hell. And people are on there. Is anybody in the room? We have made it what it is. God began to speak into my heart and began to deal with me and said, people are unhappy. They're upset. They don't like this. They're thinking about walking out. Brother Nick, they're thinking about stepping down. I've never seen so many people that say, well, I've had it with church. I don't want to do leadership. I don't want to teach the class. I don't want to drive the bus. I don't have time for this. I don't have time for that. Ladies and gentlemen, and our churches are faltering and failing in this generation because nobody wants to work. Nobody wants to pray. Nobody wants revival. Nobody wants a move of God. And if the church isn't what it should be, it's because we have made it what it is. Hallelujah. But ye have made it. Boy, if that's not a sobering thought, I've never given you one. But ye have made it. Brother Bill Rogers, the face of the cornerstone, the face of this church is a mirror reflection of the people who attend this church. If you agree with that, shout amen.
And Brother Bill, churches, Brother Carl, churches all over the country are splitting and they're dissolving. They're coming apart at the seams. And some, I told y'all this probably the last time I was here. We're not a Ford, we're not a Chevy, we're GMAC, grumble, mumble, and complain. Oh, you know I'm telling you the truth. I mean, we grumble, we mumble, we complain. We don't like this and we don't like that. And hey, if you, hey, everybody look up here. It's too hot. It's too cold. Hey, I mean, you know I'm telling you the truth. And I'm not picking and I'm not trying to be unkind and I'm not trying to be sympathetic. But everybody, can you tell I've been traveling a while? I mean, I just do this for a living, man. I look him in the eye and preach every night of my life. And God said, he said, Derek, preach to my people. Remind my people that the church is to be called the house of prayer. The church is a mirror reflection of those that attend the church. Matter of fact, Brother Carl, we cannot blame the piano player. No, we cannot blame the song leader. We cannot blame the pastor. We cannot blame the Sunday school teacher. Ladies and gentlemen, it is an individual effort. It is you, it is me, it is all of us included. Brother Mike, I'm not excluding anybody, but would you agree with me? He says in verse 13, I gotta go. He says in verse 13, my house is to be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And so here's what God began to pour into my heart. And I think I can get an amen or two out of you right here. So if the house is to be called a house of prayer, Brother Mike, have you noticed since you've been saved and since you've been going to church, if you have a fish fry, you won't have enough room for the people coming to the fish fry. If you get a I'm preaching real good, it's getting quiet. But you get a barbecue and you get some meat and you get some barbecue sauce and you get some taters and slaw. And y'all know I'm preaching the truth. And if you got enough sweet tea, baby, they're going to come up in that house. And they're going to eat the barbecue and they're going to get excited about it. Ladies and gentlemen, look up at the man of God. As long as the fish fries and the barbecues are more full, hey, we got more in them than we do in the prayer meeting. We are not interested in revival. We are not interested in a move of God. The church is to be called the house of prayer. If you agree, shout a big amen. Amen. House of prayer. A place where, here's what I wrote down on prayer. Here's what I wrote down on a house of prayer. Brother Carl, when the church, Pastor, when the church is a house of prayer, it is a place where people cry out to God. Brother Tommy, it is where they get sincere. I love that word, sincere. It is where they get honest and open before God and say things like this. God, we're living in the end time. God, we don't know how to reach these people. God, we don't know what to do with this generation. They're distracted. They got everything for them. They got this doing and that doing, and they're not interested in revival. But God, I know you're a creator. I know you said, let there be light, and the light came on. God, give us creative thoughts. Give us ideals. Teach us what to do. And God says, pray, pray, pray. Seek my face, and if you'll pray, I'll move in the house of the living God. I'll bring revival if you'll pray. Woo! Someone said you ought not to shout. We're at a Free Will Baptist Church. Yeah, but it's all right. When I was raised in a shout, y'all gonna be shocked. I was raised in a shouting Free Will Baptist Church. Brother B, we had folks that take a glory walk and raise a hanky and wave and say glory to God. And it didn't even make me nervous. I didn't bite my fingernails one time. I didn't hide under the pew and say, what are they doing? Oh no, baby. I saw a holy hunger. I saw a holy desire that was genuine and real. Why did it come? Because the church was a house of prayer. Woo. Man, I'm feeling better about this sermon already. It is to be called a house of prayer. It's a place where people pray sincerely, honestly, openly before God. And they cry out, God, we need revival in this last day. We need a genuine move of God in this last day. We need you to do something that is real and that is genuine. Would anybody agree with the man of God, Brother Field? People are looking for something that is real. Not fake, not phony baloney, but real. Before, y'all gonna look at me, I'm gonna preach anyhow. I'm gonna preach like I got sense. Before, we need another preacher. We need a prayer meeting. Before, we need another Southern gospel group. We need somebody that knows how to pray. I'm going to shock all y'all. Before we need another worship band, we need somebody that knows how to call upon the name of the Lord, that knows how to pray from a sincere heart and say, God, we need your help. A friend of mine, Brother Leroy, a friend of mine, the beauty about being a traveling evangelist, I got a buddy that's a missionary in the Philippines, and he started a school, and the school was from kindergarten. It had the sixth grade. Then they went, Brother Carl, Sister Virginia, from the kindergarten to 10th grade, and then all the way up to 12th grade. And then they got the school all the way from kindergarten to senior high, and then they even got a college. And you say, how did they do that? Blood, sweat, and tears, and a whole lot of prayer. Now, Brother John, I don't have time, but when you got a lot of missionary friends and you get around people that are in the heat of the battle, I'm talking about real people, Brother Tom Ballard. And here's what he said. Here's what a missionary friend said. He said, the lack of funds, the lack of monthly and money support. He said, that doesn't scare me. He said, catching a dreaded disease, that doesn't scare me. He said, I'll tell you, he said this to me. He said, I'll tell you what concerns me as a missionary that goes across the sea. He said, there is a generation of people who go to church and sit on a pew and they don't know how to pray. He said, that scares me to death. You know why it's awful sobering? Because I hit where we are. When we don't know, and when we don't pray, and we don't bombard heaven anymore, and we don't pray. I remember, ladies and gentlemen, a couple of years ago, Brother Bill Adcock, I was going through some of the most trying days of my life. I mean, things wasn't smooth, and things was a little rocky, and I had an old man of God. I was preaching in a revival. No, I was preaching in a camp meeting. And here's what he told me, Brother Tom. Here's what he told me, Brother Carl. He said he took me by the hand. He said, come here, man of God. And I kneeled over and I put my ear in his mouth. He said, man of God, he said, I want to tell you something. He said, I've been going to the rock. And he said, I've been putting my knees on that rock. And he said, the last 2 months I've given you an hour on the rock. I've been praying for you every day the last 2 months. I've given you an hour on the rock. Brother Bill Adcock, can I tell you, that's more than money to me. That's more than support to me. That man was praying. That man was getting a hold of God for me. Would anybody agree? The house is to be called a house of prayer. Woo. If you agree, shout amen. Amen. Brother Tommy, I got to go. The 80-year-old lady. Wakes up every morning. And she gets a hold of God. Her little chin starts to quiver. And tears begins to fall like rain. Sister Sue, and I want to tell you what blesses me about that. And she prays for her pastor, and she prays for her missionary, and she prays for her family, and she gets a hold of God. Someone said, well, why would that 80-year-old woman? She's got other things to do. She's in the prime of her life. She knows the importance of prayer. She knows what it does to pray. And every morning before she goes, hey, before she does anything, she begins to call upon God and pray. Would anybody agree? The house is to be called a house of prayer. You listen to the man of God, and I'll take you, and I appreciate all of your attention, but I want to get real. I want you to hear me. And someone says, well, where are you going? Somebody in this audience, Brother Mike, somebody in this audience, Brother Leroy, somebody in this place on this Monday night of revival, somebody needs to get a burden. Somebody needs to pray again. Somebody needs to give time out of your day. Every morning that you wake up, every time at noon, and maybe in the evening. Wasn't it David that said morning, noon, and evening, I cried aloud, and the Lord heard my cry. Ladies and gentlemen, give us some people that'll pray, because prayer changes things. The house of God is to be called the house of prayer. I'm already in verse 14. I'm just as shocked as you. Somebody needs to fall down and seek the face of God. Look at verse 14 with me. I'm in Matthew 21. I'm all the way down to verse 14. I believe we started in 10, so we have come a long way. Look at verse 14. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple. And he healed them. Everybody in the room, would you look up here briefly? When God's house becomes a house of prayer, it will become a house of power. Boy, I'm telling you, if I was writing down sermon notes and I was a preacher, I'd write that down. When we become a house of prayer, we will become a house of power. Now, Brother John, you say, well, Brother Derek, I'd really like to understand that. Well, I'll try to explain it to you. And Jesus healed them. When God's house becomes what he intended it to be, you can't help but see the hand of God moving in the services. When we become a praying people, we will become powerful people. I know the last time I was with you, Brother Leroy, and I saw you, and I think I mentioned your dad then. I don't think it'll hurt to mention him one more time. Brother Doc Kasserman. You know what I loved about Doc? He knew how to pray. I remember he went with me to my first revival. I went in there, Brother Tom, and I preached, the party's over. I didn't get a holy grunt out of that audience. Old brother Doc leaned over to me. He drove me to the meeting. And I left, and I'm discouraged. And I said, Brother Doc, I made a mess of that. I got up there and sweated and spit, and I tried to put a sentence or two together. But I said, I'm telling you, Doc, they didn't hear a word I said. He said, oh, man, I got to tell you something, son. He said, you preach like big trees falling. He said, God got a hold of you tonight. He said, I'm telling you. He said, God was in this place. And someone says, well, what was Doc doing? I'm going to tell y'all something. Doc was building up somebody that needed some help. Hey. And someone says, well, what was Doc? What was the difference in Doc? Well, I want to tell you something about Doc. Doc knew how to pray. Doc knew how to get a hold of God. Hey, and I'm going to tell you this. When people become people of prayer, they will become people with great power in their lives. Wow.
Thank you, Lord.
Now someone says, well, where are you going with this? Well, I'll say this and I will move. Because if I don't move, it's going to be a little longer. And I've got to drive this little boy home. I'm trying to get him in bed before 9:30. We're going to have to work at it. Somebody. He looks all right.
I fed him. Don't y'all worry. I fed him before we came. Don't y'all worry about that little tyke. The church is infected with the disease. You may call it complacent. You may call it being content. You may say we are average. We are status quo. We are church as usual. It may sound too simple. It may sound too elementary. You might say I've oversimplified it. But Brother Bill Adcock, I am convinced when we become people of prayer, we become people of power. I've done a meeting. I mentioned to you, I didn't give a lot of details. I went to a meeting in Hayesville, North Carolina in March. I went on a Monday and a Tuesday night. Brother Bill, they had about 450 to about 600 people on that Monday and Tuesday. The preacher told me that was week five. They went 9 weeks in a revival. Here's what captivated me. He said, man of God, he said, Monday and Tuesday, most of the time is our less attended services. He said, by the end of the week, we're pushing 800 to 1,000 people. Here, and I'm not picking. It was a Free Will Baptist church. Wow. That blew my mind too. Now, hold up. I'm not picking. Brother Carl, don't mean that disrespectful. But I'm going to tell you, this is the truth. Ladies and gentlemen, someone said, Derek, what was the deal in that meeting? I'll never forget it. They woke me in that night. I had been in the hotel praying. I'd been in there seeking God. They brought me in. I walked into this massive auditorium. There was all kinds of people. People were everywhere. I walked in. They got me the mic on. And they wanted my text. Everybody look up here. And they wanted my sermon. They wanted the name of the sermon. And if I had any points. Y'all know I had some points. I wrote down some points, Ron. I gave them the points, Brother Larry, and I gave them the sermon title. They said, man of God, they said, come in here. They said, we want to go into the prayer room. We went into the prayer room. There were 60 to 75 men. They put me in a chair. They surrounded me and they laid hands on me. I'll tell you something. If I'd have been the nervous type, I'd have got nervous. They sound like a pack of dogs, son. Hey, that and over there is yelling this and over here. And I hear some religious person. I don't think God knows what's going on in there. That'll confuse people. God wasn't confused. God heard every prayer that was being prayed. I'm not done. I'm sitting in there. I can't even pray. Brother Carl, I hate to be this honest. I'm looking around. Because I ain't saw that many of our churches. And they're bombarding heaven. And I'm telling you, Brother Tommy, it's unbelievable. It's spontaneous. It's genuine. It's real. It's authentic. That's the wording that God gave me. And after we prayed, they prayed 10, 15 minutes. And the Holy Ghost is set up in that house. And so I took my Bible. Everybody look up here. I didn't want one song sung. I said, let me at them. Let me at them. I was ready to preach. Hey, you didn't have to build it up. You didn't have to fluff it up. Hey, them people had prayed down the glory and the power and the presence of God was in that room. I stood that night, stood up and preached. Y'all believe it if you want to. I'm going to tell you, I had the best time in my life. I felt like I was floating. Amen. And Brother Leroy, here's the deal. Then they started singing, oh, yes, oh, yes. I'm a child of the King. His royal blood now flows through my veins. And I'm telling you, it got right in that room. And I said, let me have it, boys. Let me at it. You say, what was the pact? What was the deal? What made that church authentic? What made them real? What made it genuine? It was because that church had tapped into prayer and they got a hold of God. And when my people call upon my name, I will hear from heaven and will heal their land. Would anybody agree with me? When we become praying people, the power will fall. The power will fall. I done a revival at Hickory Grove a few years ago. I'll never forget it. I done a revival. And I'm going to tell you something. I've been there. Brother Bill, I'd been there. I was going to say 1,000. That's stretching it.
I'm not old enough to have been there 1,000 times. But I'll tell you, I've been there a bunch. I've been there when there were little crowds. I've been there when there were hardly no crowds. They called me in. Brother Janot Johnson was a pastor, and he said, Derek, we've been praying. He said, I'll tell you something. He said, we're in rare form. That's what he said. He said, we're in rare form. He said, I really believe we're ready for revival. You know what humbles me about that, Brother Tom? I don't get a lot of them calls. Here's what they tell me, Brother Bill. Come in, we're dead as we can be. We need some life. We ain't had anybody move. We ain't had anybody saved in 100 years. Would you come in here and pump us up? Look up here. Do I look like a pumper-upper? All I am is a preacher. And I'm not, please don't read it wrong, but he said we're in rare form. He said God's been moving the first night of the meeting. I don't want to tell it wrong, but we had some people saved. And the next night of the meeting, the crowd grew. And the next night, the crowd grew. And the last night of the meeting, and if you know anything about Hickory Grove, it's not a big church, but they had the whole church packed. They had chairs down both sides and on the sides of Brother John. And I'm not making this up. They said people on the stage all the way around me, and I'm preaching like that. Hey, I couldn't even do my normal woo, because they surrounded me, and the children crying in the temple saying Hosanna to the Son of David. They were sore displeased. I need everybody in the building to look up here. When we become a house of prayer, we'll become a house of power. When we become a house of prayer and then a house of power, thirdly, we'll become a house of people. You said, where did you get that? When the chief priest and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased. Many ways to get a crowd, but if you want God's formula, try praying, then watch his power, and then when his power shows up, the people will come. Someone asked me the other day, I get asked a lot. I'm amazed that they would ask a 43-year-old evangelist, but I guess they think I know. They said, Brother Derek, what do you think we need? I said, I hate to simplify it. You need to get a hold of prayer. You need God's power. And if you can get prayer and power, you won't have to worry. The people will come. Every miracle, Brother Tom, every miracle, Brother Carl, every miracle Jesus performed in public, it drew people to him. Yes. Amen? Amen? I was in Wicksburg, Alabama. I'm going to tell you something. Everybody look up here. I'm not against Alabama. But if God can move in Alabama, we got hope in Arkansas and Oklahoma. Don't y'all sit up there. Not like I don't know what I'm talking about. Hey, I love Alabama, son. I'm telling you, I preach there. I go there every year. But I'm telling you, Brother Tom, I was in a tent. A tent. Now, I'm just going to go ahead and tell you this. I am glad it wasn't in August. Because you'd have died. I mean, you know something about it's 110 and the humidity's so thick you can't breathe. Hey, I live up there in the mountains. It's not near as bad, but I'm going to tell you something. I've been down here in the River Valley, especially over in Arkansas. Maybe it's not bad over here in Roland, but I'm telling you, I've been in Fort Smith when you couldn't breathe. And I'm in Wicksburg, Alabama. It's hotter than that. The good thing about it, it was in the spring, and I remember we got under that tent and it started raining, and
thunderstorming, and I thought, man, damn, people ain't going to come. But that pastor, that week I came, we had 10 saved. In the week I came, Brother Tommy had baptized anywhere from 8 to 10, so he had another 10 after the meeting, and someone said, well, Derek, you talked about the rain. Well, I'll tell you something. It quit, and people just fogged up underneath that tent. And I preached that night. And I don't know if they just come because they hadn't seen the tent meeting. I couldn't believe the crowds. Hey, it wasn't because I was preaching good. Somebody shout amen right there. That wasn't it. But I'm going to tell you, Brother Bill, they flooded into that tent, and the wind of God and the power of God moved. And someone said, "Why? What happened, Derek?" Someone began to pray. Then the power showed up, and then people came under that tent, and God did a work in the house of God. And I still believe the formula works today. If you agree with me, shout amen. I preached a few minutes and y'all been very gracious. And here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do this. I'm in verse 16. I just preached a little, scratched around and preached a little. Let's look at verse 16. And then I'll try to close the sermon. I'm in verse 16. The Bible said, and said unto him, hearest thou what these say? Jesus saith unto them, yea, have you never read? Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise. Let's go over the points. When the church becomes a house of prayer, the church will become a house of power. When the church becomes a house of power, it will become a house of people. And when the house of people are in contact with a house that's full of power, it'll be a house of praise. Amen. If you agree with that, would you shout a big amen? I'll say this, and I'm going to go ahead and get some mad and some happy. Brother Carl, we're dealing with a generation. We are scared to sing. We're worried, Brother Bill, if we sing this or we sing that, they're going to worry about what we sing, and they are concerned about it. And everybody look up here. I'm just going to get real with you. Whether we sing Amazing Grace or Power in the Blood or Splendor of a King, how many would agree with me? We need to be people that praise God. It doesn't matter the song that we sing. We need to sing it with passion and with intensity. And ladies and gentlemen, it's not the beat of the music. It's not the beat of the drums. No. It's not we playing the piano right. No. It's not the guitar right. No, ladies and gentlemen, when the worship is up and the worship is right and the people are worshiping God and they raise their hands, would you agree with me? Worship is contagious. When you raise your hands and you lift your voice, others will raise their hands and lift their voice. We need to be people that praise God. I'm going to say this tonight, and I'm going to try my best. And y'all know me, Brother Carl. I know y'all know me, Brother Bill, Brother Tom. Y'all know me. But I'm going to tell you where we are. We're so scared of singing anything new because they'll label us. Everybody look up here. I'm going to shock all y'all. They done labeled me. I'm over it. But I've got an 18-year-old, I got an 11-year-old, and a 6-year-old. And I'm going to tell you, y'all going to be shocked. They don't sing all the songs I sing. Brother Leroy, they don't. I make sure they know Power in the Blood. I make sure they love Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound.
And I want them to know that I cut my teeth on that. But I'm going to tell you, when I watch my little boy and they begin to sing worship, and they begin to sing a worship song, and I watch my little boy who's 11 years old raise his hand and tears begin to plow furrows down his face, I don't give a rip what song it is. If he's magnified and he's worshiping Jesus, that's enough for me. Hallelujah. But the formula, I'm done. The formula is still the same. When we become a house of prayer, we will become a house of power. When we become a house of power, we'll be a house of people. When the people tap into the power, there'll be people that praise God, that praise Him from their heart. Ladies and gentlemen, it won't be like this. You'll raise both hands and say, glory to God. He's worthy. I got to tell this. I'm closing. Y'all look here. I got the Bible shut. I'm feeling better about it. Brother Mike, y'all going to be shocked. I've been in churches. They label me. I know y'all can't believe it. I know y'all's all shocked. Blowing you away. Brother John, I know it's just shocking you. And if you need me to break it down for you, I will. I've walked into churches many a night knowing that I had a job to do. Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, it doesn't matter to me. I don't come to make you love me or make you like me. I just come to preach you the truth. Amen. And before I can give you the truth, Brother Bill, I don't know how you're built. Before I give you the truth, I need to be in tune with the presence and the power of God. Amen. And whether anybody's watching or not, I'll lift this hand. And sometimes I'll double. I mean, I'll raise both of them up. And I do it like this because I want it to fall on me. Somebody... I'm fixing to stand in front of judgment-bound people and try my best to give you the good news. You know what gets me? I was in Emporia. I told you I was going to tell a story. I was in Emporia. God gave me this sermon, and I wouldn't tell you the pastor's name for nothing because I wouldn't want to embarrass him, Brother Leroy, but here's what happened. That boy got me. We got to church. We were 5 minutes late. Church started at 7. We got there at 7:05. He walked me into the back room. And a group of 6-8 people gathered around me. And they began to scream and pray and cry real loud. I got in the pulpit that night. God had just given me this sermon. I got in the pulpit that night and I said, guys, I'm going to tell y'all something. You can't rush into church 5 minutes late and pray a 3-minute prayer and hope God sends revival. Did you ever get asked back? Not one time. But Tom Ballard, preacher, I told him the truth. We want quick fixes. It's going to cost us something. Somebody needs to get a burden for prayer. The generation that knows how to pray is dying and going to heaven, and we don't have anybody filling the shoes of the generation that has died and went to heaven. God, would you help us tonight? Would you help somebody in this room get a burden for prayer? But ye have made it stand all over the room. Here's what we're going to do. Sis, would you come play softly on the piano? And you've done a wonderful job.